Communications disruption can mean only one thing: invasion.
You must contact me.
Negotiation? We've lost all communication.
Welcome to CO Bibbles, Babble, Bubble. This is a particularly exciting time to be a fan of prequels appreciation. I had a special thing set aside for this week, but decided just to open up with a little bit of analysis of recent Star Wars news that ties into the prequels. This is going to be a little dated for some folks because due to my commitment to the bi-weekly release schedule, I sometimes react a little bit later than something initially came out compared to some of the other podcasts, but I just wanted to give a nice little shout out to a few little prequels things that are going around in the Star Wars news right now. And both of them are tied directly to the release of two new trailers. That's right. We're talking about the Rise of Skywalker trailer and the trailer for The Mandalorian coming out on Disney Plus November 12th. Now, both of these are sequels in the truest possible sense in that they are a sequel to the original trilogy and one is in the sequel trilogy, but they both have two wonderful little spatterings of a representation from one of our favorite factions here on the Babble Bubble, I can't even get the name of my own show right, and that would be the Confederacy of Independent Systems. That's right, in the Rise of Skywalker trailer that came out on Monday Night Football 2 weeks ago, you could see in the background of a droid repair shop a classic Trade Federation battle droid. That's right, Roger, Roger, long nose and all. Super excited to see that little spattering back there. I hope it's going to come to life. Probably not, just something in the background, but we can just see that as a nice nod. And even if that was all the news, I would have been extraordinarily excited just to see, hey, here's a little prequels love. Because one thing that we've seen in the sequel trilogy is, in my opinion, not enough reference to prequels species or prequels characters. There's a lot of new alien species that are used in the sequel trilogy when they have a whole breadth and huge selection from the prequels that don't really pop up. But to see a battle droid in the background is just a nice reminder and recognition that, hey, this happened and there's still evidence around here. You know, it's a 40-year difference since the Clone Wars up to that point. And so to have that little... Actually, it's... What is it? Like a 50-year difference, I suppose. But to have that little antique is kind of nice. It's sort of the same way that when you go to antique shops here in the States, or just in real life, you see evidence of World War II weapons or badges or uniforms, that type of stuff. To see evidence of a battle droid in a film is, for me, very impressive. But then they take it one step further with this Mandalorian trailer that came out the following week, where in the trailer you actually see moving super battle droids and a droid ship similar to the ones that we saw in the Clone Wars TV show. That's super exciting because not only is it introducing yet more references, we're seeing that this element that was from the prequels is actually alive and moving. It isn't just some antique placed on a shelf, as is the case with the regular battle droid in The Rise of Skywalker, that these are moving pieces. So that's super cool because it makes it more real and it makes it more tangible for new audiences. You know, especially if you think of people who are late introductions to Star Wars, who are young people or people watching the show for the first time. Maybe, you know, they're Disney Plus subscribers and they say, I want to see what Star Wars is all about. Let me watch this TV show on here. And they see, oh, here's some cool looking moving set pieces. Where can I see more of this? And realizing, oh, it's the prequels. And someone could either have a rediscovery or a first time interaction with the prequels. So I think that's super exciting. It'll be awesome as those shows unfold to see what other sorts of things unfold that are nice little references to this collection of films that yours truly and hopefully everybody listening to this podcast who isn't listening to it as a joke fully enjoy. That being said, I want to move forward to the thing I wanted to discuss because, like I say, this is just not a news podcast as much as it is just looking and saying what we love about the prequels and finding kind of unique little ways to tie it into our current lives. And I decided, after talking to a few people, looking for some recommendations, to do a very special edition this fall, and this is our college football edition. That's right. Imagine instead of me, you have the horrible Lee Corso, the ever full of himself Kirk Herbstreit, and the only guy with any amount of sense, Desmond Howard, sitting here on a panel. That's right, it's College Game Day, the special edition. So what we're going to do to make it specifically worth your while and try to make it timely for this week is we are going to go through some present-day college football teams and identify who are their prequel character equivalents. So, here we go. I'm going to start by just looking at the Associated Press top 10 as ranked for week 10 of the college football season. So, for those of you who are listening to this at a later date, this is referencing to the week going into gameplay on November 2nd, which is when this episode drops. So some of these teams may end up losing this week before I even really get to them. So, this should be kind of exciting. We'll work our way back. Number 10, the University of Oklahoma. Now, I just want to give a full disclosure here that I'm a graduate of the University of Texas at Austin. Hook 'em horns. So there's going to be a particular bias, especially against those schools that we don't really get along with. And Oklahoma, number one, is the school who we loathe the most. It's the Red River Rivalry, baby. Now, they had we're having a really good season. Even gave my team the business, but had a certain little stumble to Kansas State last week. We'll see if they can rebound, but here they are topping off the, rounding out the top 10, and I have them listed here as Count Dooku Darth Tyrannus. Now, why would I go that? I actually like Dooku, and this is really meant as a moment of respect. Well, the reason for this is because Dooku seemingly is on top of things. You know, he's well collected. He's got a red lightsaber. OU, their color is crimson red. They play the role of a villain, but a villain very, you know, a villain that people generally don't look down upon. You know, it's not a scummy villain. It's a villain with some amount of elegance. And everyone loves Lincoln Riley, the head coach of the Sooners, and what he can do. And he's this brilliant mind, this brilliant strategist on offense, like Dooku in the Confederacy. But you know what? They lose their way. Just like Dooku, through the prequel trilogy, he thought that he had everything put together, but he ends up losing at the very end, and he gets his hands cut off, and then his head totally sliced up. Just like the Oklahoma Sooners last week in Manhattan, Kansas, were given the business by the Kansas State Wildcats. Number 9, we got the University of Utah in Salt Lake City. I have them as Darth Maul. And I swear, not everybody here is going to be a bad guy. And Darth Maul, I'm not going to talk about Clone Wars Darth Maul or Solo Darth Maul. We're talking specifically Episode 1 Darth Maul, as he is in The Phantom Menace. So here we have a force who's emerging from the shadows. He's kind of had a rough start to begin with. I mean, as we learn more about the character, he was taken away from his family, forced into being corrupted by the Night Sisters and all this other type of stuff into forging this very powerful beast. And so Utah lost early on in the season, kind of a disappointment to USC. I like to make that comparison as when Darth Maul was sent to Tatooine and he didn't really lose his lightsaber duel against Qui-Gon, but he didn't win it either. And he was kind of left to sort of lick his wounds, go back to Naboo, and really strike. So he's this emerging from the shadows kind of a character. Not enough people are talking about Utah this season, but they have a lot of excitement. This Saturday, they're going to play the University of Washington, and we will see if it really is a duel of the fates, as it were. Ha-ha. Number 8, we have the University of Georgia. We got our first good guy here. Georgia is the governor, C.O. Bibble himself. Yes, the man for whom this very podcast is named. Now, why is that the case? Well, let me tell you. C.O. Bibble is not a Southern gentleman, because he's English, but if he could talk with an accent that wasn't this sort of dignified Englishman, it absolutely would be that of a Southern gentleman. He even kind of has a Colonel Sanders look to it. I could see him sipping drinks in Savannah, fanning himself with a good old newspaper, the Gazette, and drinking a nice big glass of iced tea before moving on to the bourbon. And you know what? Just like C.O. Bibble, having to really suffer through a lot of stuff, especially in the occupation and invasion of Naboo and having to hold the front line, Georgia kind of suffers through their own things as well. And you know what? They have this great title, but they're kind of forgotten because there's somebody bigger. So just like C.O. Bibble has the Queen of Naboo, who he kind of always plays second fiddle to, in the SEC, Georgia's kind of always playing second fiddle to Alabama. And they're never able to pull the way through. And so it's kind of a disappointment. They kind of play old school. They're an old powerhouse, but not as big of a powerhouse as you think they are based on appearance. Number seven, we go to our other Pac-12 team on the list, and that is the University of Oregon. Okay, why do I have him as General Grievous? Let me tell you. The thing about Grievous is, you know, he took a bad thumping. And he really was deconstructed quite literally before being put back together in this kind of very flashy, robotic man. That's kind of what Oregon's been like this season. They came in with really high hopes, but they lost early on. They kind of got thrashed in public media and social media and sort of how everyone was talking about it. Oh, Oregon, they were overrated. They're not bringing anything to the table. But you know what? They went back to the drawing board and they made a cyborg version of themselves. Also, Grievous with his four lightsabers, that's kind of flashy. Do you see what Oregon wears on the football field every single week with those god-awful uniforms always changing? That's pretty much all the corniness of General Grievous rolled together and slapped out there. Number six, we have the University of Florida in Gainesville. Now, I had to think long and hard on this one, and by the time I realized who it was that I wanted to associate with, I immediately just whacked myself on the head, and I said, Reed, this is obvious from the get-go, and that is, of course, none other than Boss Rugor Nass, Boss Nass, the big toad man himself. Now, why is that the case? Well, first and foremost, Florida, that whole state, is basically a moist swamp. That's where the Gungans live. Boss Nass, swamp person. Florida people, swamp people. Gator is kind of close to the toad man that is a Gungan. So it immediately makes sense. Also, Florida is a rival to Georgia. Georgia is C.O. Bibble, a leader of the Naboo. The Naboo are rivals to the Gungans. So it makes a perfect foil to each other. Maybe one day, I don't know, we're gonna see the Florida Gator mascot hold up a big orb and yell peace while standing next to Ugga the Bulldog. I doubt it'll happen, but we can hope. Comically enough, those two teams are playing this weekend. They're sort of playing for survival, because if either of them loses, you know, they're probably not gonna be in the college football playoff. But we can see what happens there. It should be an exciting game to watch. I don't even know what time it is, so when I drop this episode, one of them may have already won. I don't know if it's a night or afternoon game. We'll have to see. But super exciting stuff there. Number five, Penn State. Penn State is presently undefeated. Now, I thought I could make a lot of references to some of their earlier scandals, but that's kind of dated. That was like in 2012. So we're 7 years removed from the Joe Paterno, Jerry Sandusky. We want to talk about Penn State now. So they haven't lost a game yet. They're playing poised. They're playing elegant. They've beaten some really interesting teams. But you know what? We know something bad's coming down the pike for them. They're either going to lose to someone obvious down the road, or they're going to get thrashed by Ohio State in the championship game. And you just think that nothing is going to come out of them. So can you really enjoy how successful they're being, knowing that in the end, they're still going to find a way to lose? And the person who I think that is Bail Organa. You know, we see him in Revenge of the Sith, and Jimmy Smits does a great performance, and we think, this guy is so kind. He's got this great relationship with the Jedi. It makes total sense why he adopts Leia. But we know what's coming down the pike for Mr. Organa. In the prequels, he makes it through, but we know that Death Star's coming. We know that Alderaan isn't gonna really make much of a splash after the first few minutes when they get kapooshed. So, you know, is it really worth the watch? Actually, this actually is. It is worth the watch because Jimmy Smits is wonderful. But, you know, and Penn State's got some fun moments, but they're not going to make it through. Number four, this one's kind of silly more than anything else. We have Clemson, another undefeated team. All the other teams from Penn State onward are undefeated, or otherwise, how else are you going to be considered a top five program? But for Clemson, they have a quarterback with really good hair. I mean, just Google it. I know this is a Star Wars podcast, and so some of you folks may not be 100% online with, you know, oh, what's going on in the world of sports. Look up Trevor Lawrence Clemson. That guy could be a hair model. Also, he's just generally handsome to begin with. So who is good looking with great hair? Hair. Eesh. Padme Amidala. That's right. And, you know, unlike Natalie Portman, who had to wear extensions or wigs to get certain of her hairstyles done, Trevor Lawrence has the length that he could probably do all that stuff anyway. I would love it if during a press conference, Trevor Lawrence had the football helmet off and put his hair up in the same way Padme did when she had dinner with Anakin in Attack of the Clones. Maybe even wear the same dress, because that would just be, you know, amusing. But not to make light of the situation. But good-looking guy, good-looking queen. Also, really talented. You know, Padme's an excellent senator. Clemson's an excellent football team. And, yeah, they may have had their missteps and taken a while to get the ball rolling or looking totally good. But just like Padme, especially to break away from the prequels and go into the books, in Queen's Shadow, we see, yeah, she has a few missteps as an early politician. But, you know, by the time it picks up, it's really doing well. And a misstep's not a loss. Just like Clemson, they haven't lost yet. Number three, Ohio State. Now, I made Ohio State Senator Sheev Palpatine / Darth Sidious. And I use the phrasing very intentionally. I say Senator Palpatine, not Chancellor Palpatine, because Ohio State isn't quite that chancellor yet. They're that senator in the Phantom Menace, the one who's making the maneuvering and the ploys to work their way up. Ohio State is absolutely just demolishing everyone they run into, but they're not getting the same love as Alabama or LSU or even regionally as Clemson, because they're not one of these Southern football schools. They're not SEC. And because of that, they're kind of able to operate in as much of a shadow as one can, given the profile. And I think that's absolutely Sheev. You know, there is sort of this Darth Sidious element to Ohio State because they got a lot of maneuvering. They know what they're doing right, and they're not necessarily getting the same splash as the other people, but that's okay because they're hoping to become chancellor at the end of the season, to really work their way up and grasp that which they've so been after. Number two, Alabama. Now, this is where people may say, Reed, why isn't Alabama Chancellor Palpatine? Let's go with this whole idea that, oh, you know, it's the evil empire. Well, that's the key, evil empire. In the prequels, we don't get that until the very end. If I could pick all of Star Wars, I would make Alabama Emperor Palpatine. But at the prequels, I wouldn't even say he's quite Chancellor because Alabama's just knowingly a bad guy, in my opinion. Now, if you're a Bama fan, I'm so sorry, but you admit you relish the role of the villain that's been prescribed to you for 10 years, since 2009, since you guys beat my Texas Longhorns, had Colt McCoy not been injured in that national championship game. Yes, that is a hill that I'm very, very willing to die on. But Alabama, they always win. They're kind of, you know, brash. Who do we know like that? Who always wins? It's an obvious answer. Sebulba always wins. Alabama is the Sebulba of college football, without a doubt. And you know what? Sebulba, he has a kind of a loss now and again. And he gets knocked down a few notches. But he pulls himself back up. And I'm not saying that Alabama cheats like Sebulba does. But, you know, you look at the grade point averages of some of their football players and what classes they're supposedly going to. I'll just leave it at that. To be fair, that's probably every single team on this list does this. But it's easy to pick on Alabama because you're always punching up. And that leaves the number one team in the country, Louisiana State University, LSU, the Bayou Tigers. I have them as Chancellor Finis Falorum. Now, I do have some LSU fans who listen to this show, and they may think I'm doing them dirty with this pick. And you know what? I hate to say it, but I am. The thing with Chancellor Falorum is that he starts on the top of his game at the prequels. But 75% of the way into the Phantom Menace, he is slashed. He is put down to his knees when he is revoked. And I am saying that's going to be LSU. LSU is playing phenomenal football right now. They finally found an offense. They have a quarterback. That's right, a quarterback who's in running for the Heisman Trophy. Not some running back with a bunch of yards. Not some excellent defensive guy. But the dude who throws the ball. But look who they still have left to play. Yeah, they beat Auburn, but they got Alabama. They could trip up in the championship game, SEC championship game, losing the playoffs. I just don't think they're going to win out. And that's why I think they're Valorum. Valorum does not win out. And, you know, he's a fine leader, but people kind of like, really? That's the best you got? Just like a lot of people look at LSU and be, okay, you know, color me not too impressed. I don't know. Maybe it's unfair of me. We'll see how it plays out. Like I say, it's only week 10. We've got a lot of football left. But I'm honestly not feeling it. Here we have some other teams I've picked. Now we've rounded the top 10 just because there were some very obvious choices. I'm going to go down to number 13, the University of Minnesota. And I'm going to go with the Prime Minister of Camino, Lama Su. Now, why him? What's going on with him? Well, he's privately doing really well in leading up to Attack of the Clones. You know, nobody's really knowing what's going on with Camino, but turns out, hey, they're getting paid a ton of money to do their job, living in a swanky sea palace with a bunch of clones who can do stuff for you, but no one's talking about them, quite literally, because they've been erased from the system. And that's Minnesota. Minnesota hasn't lost a game. You know? They're 7-0. And they're sitting at number 13. No one's talking about them. To be fair, they haven't played anybody yet. So they're yet to be tested, just like the clones are yet to be tested. And so I don't know if they'll pull through or not. But I really like where they're sitting. I think Lama Su is the way to go.
And now to business. You will be delighted to hear that we are on schedule. 200,000 units are ready, with a million more well on the way.
That's good news.
Please tell your master, Cypher Diaz, that his order will be met on time.
Anyhow, we have a little break here in the recording session, so that's why there's going to be a sudden change of the way the audio is sounding. I'd like to keep moving forward with the list, however, and move on to the number 16 team in the country, that is Notre Dame. You know, I'd be remiss to be talking about college football without mentioning the Fighting Irish. They're a constant stalwart in the college football narrative, even though they continue to disappoint, and you have to ask yourself, when will they just go away? I'm sick and tired of these guys, you know? And for all the Notre Dame fans out there, this isn't a knock on you. It's just every single time you think Notre Dame proves themselves, and then it turns out they fall flat on their face in the college football playoff or in the BCS championship game back in 2012, somehow or another, they keep popping up. And for that reason, I'm making Notre Dame Viceroy Newt Gunray. That guy does not know how to take the L. He pops up again, again, and again. Also, he's a little bit green. You know what? Fighting Irish, kind of the mean green mentality, right? It kind of works to some sort of thing. Also, Newt Gunray is a bit of a racial stereotype. And that little leprechaun that you guys have out at your football games, also a racial stereotype as well. Going to go down the list a little bit further to the 20th ranked team, none other than Appalachian State.
Now, at the time that I'm recording this podcast, Appalachian State, because since they play in not really a significant conference, they have a lot of Thursday night games, and they actually lost to their rival Georgia State, so they are no longer undefeated. For that reason, and the reason I picked them to be this character even before that loss, I'm feeling that they're Watto. That's right, Watto the junk dealer. Everyone's always poo-pooing on Watto, but he's doing kind of all right in life, but he's kind of tucked away, and if you think about it, Tatooine, in a lot of ways, is the low-rent backwater of the Star Wars universe, just in the same way that the Appalachians are. And Watto, he's kind of grimy, but he's a good guy at heart, just like the good people of Appalachian State, good at heart, but they're going to take the L. They're not in the big league. Just like Watto, he's not the big dealer over there. You know, even in the system of Tatooine, he's probably, you know, fourth or fifth fiddle in his one little town as well. And, you know, we like to root for them on the sidelines. They got some goofy moments, but there's just not enough to move forward. The final two teams I'm going to mention here are not ranked, but they're teams that play a very important role in my life. So as I mentioned, I am an alumni of the University of Texas. And I've already talked about Oklahoma, so I gotta mention the other folks out there. That's right, the little brother team, Texas A&M. Now, I realize there's a lot of jokes I can make about the Aggies, because that is what we as Longhorns are so often conditioned to do. But I think that's unfair. You know, I'm gonna try to be fair as I have been fair to all the other teams on this list, and I'm gonna say that Texas A&M is Poggle the Lesser. Yes, I realize there is a slight snub by picking a character whose name is the Lesser, for they are the lesser of the two football teams historically in the Lone Star State, but it's also a bit of a compliment. The Geonosians are excellent engineers, and they are doing engineering in kind of a less than stellar looking area. College Station is kind of like Geonosis. But you know what? I would trust the Aggies and someone with a Texas A&M education to help build the Death Star, like they did, or to help really make the battle droids better. There is a place for that, and it's a great engineering school, it's a great ag school. But just as, you know, Poggle the Lesser, when we're first introduced to him, he's doing pretty okay, you know? We're like, oh, he's the Grand Duke of a planet, he's got a great contract lined up with the Confederacy. Just like Texas A&M, they start every single football season ranked in the top 20, sometimes the top 15 or even top 10. But by the end of September, they're starting to fall apart. And Poggle the Lesser, he comes crumbling down too, just like all the other separatist leaders. And you hate to see it, but it happens, and it's expected. And for a lot of people, they look forward to it. And you know what? The Aggies are kind of the architects of their own self-demise, and Poggle really threw in his weight with the wrong people. That being said, I'm not going to paint the character who I associate with the last team on our list, the Texas Longhorns, in a good light, because you know what? This 2019 Texas football team doesn't deserve to be painted in a good light, if you ask me. Yeah, they got some character, but they came in cocky, they made a lot of rash decisions, and a lot of mistakes. And who else is that other than Anakin Skywalker? Yeah, you could be saying, Reed, you went to Texas, so you see them as the protagonist, so you're going to give your school the protagonist of the prequel trilogy. Well, when I mentioned Anakin here, I'm talking about all the rashly minded, knuckleheaded decisions that he makes throughout so many things, and he is responsible for his own downfall. He's too emotional. He doesn't think things all the way through, and that's how Texas is playing right now. It's very tragic. We want to root them for victory, and we see them as the chosen one that will bring balance to the Force. Comically enough, just as Oklahoma beats Texas, Count Dooku beats Anakin Skywalker. But you know, in the end, Anakin ends up taking down Count Dooku. So maybe, just maybe, if this Texas team can start to finally get things together, they'll take on the University of Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship and show who's boss. I don't think it's going to happen. I think we've already lost that one hand, as Anakin did, with all those defensive injuries, and I think with everything else piling up, we're ready to be caught on fire. And we're not going to see Darth Vader in the sequel trilogy, in the original trilogy, until next season. 2020, that may be our year, but 2019, I don't think so. Anyhow, I hope you thought that these opinions were a worthwhile listen to, and, you know, I'm not a usual sports reporter, so if I happen to get anything wrong for you football heads out there, I apologize. I'm just a fan, just like I'm a fan of these prequels. And I really appreciate to those of you who have reached out to me, giving me suggestions of what to talk about with encouraging messages, or saying, hey, I like what you do. Because listeners, I like what you do. You're listening to the show. And I just want to give a shout out to all the other great podcasters out there who are putting forth their messaging and who are being supportive of the wonderful community of Star Wars fans, both in the United States, abroad, and all across the galaxy. Thank you for joining the Babble Bubble, and hope to hear you next time.